world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I get those 6 minutes back, that 6 minute gap. I feel like I'm in the Nixon White House, that 13 minute gap. Remember that? Well, we just had a 6 minute gap here. Jared started me, he restarted me, he rebooted me, he danced all over, we couldn't figure out what was going on, and then all of a sudden, somebody said, are you sure you're plugged in? And then this little thing right here wasn't all the way clicked. So I get those 6 minutes back. I know that we sent a pan. I already heard from the Secret Service, I already heard from the NSA, heard from the FBI, they were wondering if I was broadcasting today. Facebook wasn't too worried because they've got me banned anyway. YouTube, I'm not big enough for them. I'm just a tadpole flopping around in the water to them. But I noticed that I started at 7:06, so I get till 8:06 today. All right? Bless you all. Thanks for joining us. Got a full queue here this morning. We got room for maybe one or two more. Honored that you would join us today. Man, got a lot of stuff. I say it every morning. Come in, a lot of stuff on my heart. Hey, I want to thank Sarah. I'm not going to mention your names, but just as a list of you. I want to thank you guys out there who sent me encouragement yesterday. After I started the show and talked about the number of viewers, the number of click-throughs and all that kind of stuff, and that was discouraging that there weren't a lot of people. And I just want to thank all of you that sent me an email. It says, Coach, I don't care how many join. I'm learning every day, yada, yada. Keep going, Coach. And never underestimate your impact. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Again, it's one of the things that we really fight against. You see it in our churches, is bigger is always better. We think, and it, you know, really isn't. Really isn't. And I was saying to Michelle yesterday, you just look down through this queue. Some of you guys been here. Larry's been here since day two, I think. Some of you guys been here every morning. It's just amazing. So I tip my cap. Thank you guys all for being here. I want to share a couple of personal things with you yesterday. Not like that. I'm not trying to get in touch with my feelings. But I think what I want to share is really, really critical. First of all, what is today? John Roberson. Hagman Report. John Roberson's coming on the show tomorrow. And John's going to talk to us about Hollywood, what's really going on out there. We've had John on before, and he was a fascinating guest. He co-hosted for Doug last night. He's the producer of the Hagman and Hagman Report. John's going to be our guest tomorrow, so get in there early. You're going to really, really enjoy that. And I can't emphasize enough the importance of OJ. I know you're out there, OJ. I saw OJ's coming to Wisconsin. OJ's driving all the way from Kentucky to be at our conference in Wisconsin this week. And I know there are others that are. And so we look forward to for you guys being there. And I've said this, man, oh, man, the speakers. You know what they all have in common, except for Pastor Bill Dunphy? You know what they all have in common? No church will have them in. Bill Federer, they'll have Bill Federer. Bill's great. He's fascinating. No, he's a historian, but Bill's going to talk, I think, about how we the people lost control of our government. I think that's going to be his topic. It'll be unbelievable. Flip Benham. Every time I sit under the teaching of Flip Benham, I just come away shaking my head. Pastor Dunphy can preach for the best of them. David Arthur, I can't wait to hear David Arthur, the former tranny homosexual who everybody wanted him to get saved. And then when he got saved, he goes into the church and he starts telling people that you aren't born that way. And then the church doesn't want anything to do with it. So to get him saved, it's like I had a guy tell me one voice, says, Coach, the farther you get into this ministry thing, you're going to find out that really most churches and most pastors, they care about souls, but they don't really care about people. Boy, I thought, man, is that ever it? So David Arthur's going to be up there, and he's going to talk about, he's going to give his testimony, whatever. Who am I flipping? Rusty Thomas. All this stuff's in Marshfield. You can find it at CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com. Come and join us. I promise you, it'll be worth it. Courageous Christianity. Because they're in very much of it. Did I leave anybody off there? David Arthur, Matt Twell is going to be up there. Bill Federer, what a man. My goodness. Listen, you could go to a seminar where any one of these guys was presenting for 3 days and you would never get all of it. And it's all being done at once. So looking forward, we're leaving out of here tomorrow. We have a good weekend. It's cold up there, warm here, cold up there. A lot of snow coming up Jared's way, but we're going to dodge all that. So come and join us there. All right, folks?
Hey, Coach, now, listen, is there anybody that can video? Is there anybody who can videotape that? That hit lineup that you have, I've seen every one of them. My goodness, to get all of you guys under the same roof preaching. Is there any way Rob Pugh can make somebody record this and get it on DVD?
Well, you know, Rob's usually about 7 days ahead of all of us. So I know that he's probably working on that. Even live streaming on Vimeo, I think, is one of the things he's trying to do. I don't know. I'm not speaking for Rob. But, Rob will certainly have it videotaped. And what we'll do with it beyond that, I don't know. This is going to be, you know what's really fun? I get to ride in the van with Flip and Pastor Bill, Jeff Klein, and John Freshwater. He should be speaking. John Freshwater was a teacher here in Ohio that lost his job for having a Bible on his desk. I get to ride with them up there. That ride's going to be something. Just to ride with Flip, that'll be worth it. That'll be worth the time. So, come and join us. I'm telling you, if you're anywhere near it, it'll be really, really good. The second thing I want to talk about from a personal standpoint, I'm going to dive into some stuff here. We went down, we fed some people. I did the worst video. I can't do Facebook Live, right? I mean, it's so stupid. So I was using my phone yesterday to try to do a little YouTube video. And when you do, I don't know what it is. When you do a YouTube video or Facebook video or whatever, when you start your phone in this angle and you turn it to this one, it doesn't always keep up and it doesn't always work. So I ended up with a video that was like upside down. I didn't know it, but it wasn't any good. So I apologize for that. We went down to Pomeroy, Ohio, which is, if you ever look at a map of Ohio, Jim Kraft came yesterday, bread man. Jim shared this with me. I didn't know. Jared, this is crazy. Real quickly, I want you guys to see this. See if you can pull up a map of Ohio real quick, Jim. Or Jim or Jared. You know, just good map of Ohio. I want to show you guys where we were. They had big flooding there. Jim, he's trying to get. There's Ohio. It was Ohio. Zoom in a little bit, and I'll show you where we were. And what they call, well, you can see it. I didn't even know it. Keep going. Right down, Jared. Yeah, that's good. I want you guys, go clear down to the bottom, Jared. Down there where it's, you see where it says Parkersburg, that's not where we want. Right in, make that larger. A little bit larger. See, a little bit larger. Good. Okay, now, Jared, go up a little bit. Cause we're clear the other way. I'm sorry. Go down. Boys, there it is. Stop right there. I'm looking now for a little hockey where we dumped in there. Where Pomeroy, Jared, do you see clear over here? Like, keep coming over there, right there, folks. Look at that. Stop right there. Pomeroy. Jim Kraft told me this. They call it the Big Bend in the Ohio River. Look at that. Look at that Big Bend in the Ohio River there. That's where we were, Pomeroy, Ohio, and that Big Bend. They had huge flooding. It flooded all the. I'm telling you that. Appalachia, that is the correct pronunciation, by the way. Appalachia, not Appalachian, Appalachia. Folks, some of the houses those people live in down there is like almost third world. It is. I'm just telling you, it's amazing. Not an entire area got flooded. But anyway, Jim told me that's the Big Bend. I never knew that. See that big horseshoe? The big horseshoe. They call that the Bend. I never knew that. Now, Jim lives down here in Gallipolis, which it was farther, if we were to go farther left towards Cincinnati, that's where Jim is. But that's where we went yesterday, and we handed out food. Okay, most of you said, who cares, Coach? Get on with it here. Get on with it. I want to make a point to you. Okay? Gallipolis, clear down at the bottom. We'll make a point to you. I had the most unbelievable, and from my standpoint, time with my granddaughter yesterday. Michelle and I and our oldest granddaughter, Reese, went down. And, guys, hear me. Grandpas, you are missing an opportunity if you are not building into the life of your grandchildren. I see it in my own family. Reese's dad's actively involved in her life. He's a good daddy. So's my daughter, our daughter Maggie's husband, Isaiah. He's a good daddy. They're actively involved in their children's lives. But yesterday, I purposefully, with purpose, began to speak and teach my granddaughter, Reese. As we were driving down, talking about Appalachia, and that her grandparents came out of that, poverty and Christian values and what we stand up for and why it matters. And I took Reese out, and she got to see the Ohio River for the first time. I took her down and took a picture of her dipping her toe in the Ohio River, and I said, Reese, there are billions of people in America who've never done what you just did, put your toe in the Ohio River. And I got a picture of it, and I'll have it forever. And to be able to build into the life of our grandchildren, guys, I just tell you, don't miss that. Roger, you just had a grandbaby. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Because daddies, their fathers are very, very important. But one of the problems with the father's too busy earning a living, living his own life. At 35 years old, you certainly don't have the wisdom that you have at 65 years old. And so I was just really, really honored and really, really blessed yesterday, Michelle and I, to be able to build into the life of little Reese. Watch my wife and my when we were feeding the poor, giving them bread, Michelle and some of the ladies would get in a prayer circle around the ladies to see my little daughter, my granddaughter Reese, go up and join in that circle and lay hands on the woman. See my little granddaughter Reese. Reese is 7 years old. See Reese stand out on the street and hold up a sign, free bread, standing and wiggle that sign back and forth for people driving by. Just to be able to see poverty, need, and serving others, what that's all about. Guys, listen, if you are not involving your family in active ministry, there's something that got in Reese yesterday. Something got in her. And if you're not actively doing it, that's why I love the activist mommy, Dr. Patrick Johnston. They do ministry with their children. They do ministry with them. It's a way of life. They take their children and do, they don't send them to the Sunday school and do crayons of Noah's Ark. They actively live out their faith with their children out in the world. Rob just said something. Rob says trying to get on, but the huddle is full. Still watching it though. Okay, Rob, I'm sorry. So guys, listen. Gals, grandpas, you have to make an active attempt to build into the life of those children. You have to do it. You have to do it. And I was telling little Reese as we're coming home, said, man, Reese, you and I were going to remember this forever. I was there when you put your toe in that water. And I watched how you don't know how proud I was watching you when you were handing out that bread and you were praying with those people. We have to make our faith, we have to make their faith real to them. Doesn't happen in Sunday school. Yes.
My wife has family down at Pomeroy, so I'm very familiar with that area. And what has always impressed me when we go down to visit and talk to them, these people are poor. We hear so much of urban poor, the urban poverty, but there's hundreds and thousands of Pomeroy, Ohio's.
You can't believe it. You can't believe it.
Where the industries have died.
No industry.
Where housing markets have crashed. But I do sense in talking to them, I don't get a lot of complaining down there. You know, you don't get a lot of bitching. They seem like just good, decent, honest folks, and I've been going down there as long as I've been married. But they're poor. There's a lot of poverty. And it's never talked about.
Jim Kraft enlightened me yesterday, Roger. Jim is an administrator in the public schools down in Gallipolis, Ohio, which is right on the river. And he you know what he told me? Jim, I hope I can say this. I said, Jim, what do these people do for a living? And he kind of smiled and said, marijuana.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing down there, folks. There's nothing down there. And then he went on to tell me about, you know, how many federal dollars flooded into that area. Oh, my goodness. People don't have jobs. One of the things we noticed yesterday when we were handing out the bread, Michelle noticed it, ironically. She said, honey, it's welfare checks just arrived. they're not real needy right now. Well, I thought, man, is that really true? And Jim says, yeah, no. There is money that flows into these places, and there are no jobs. So where's all this money coming from? But it was a great experience. I got to reconnect with a bread man. I hadn't seen him in a while. Jim came down. But the greatest thing for me was taking. Remember Psalm 78. Jared, can we go there real quick? Because I just want to make this connection and we'll move forward. Psalm 78. I got some good stuff for you today if I get a chance to get to it. Hey, I wasn't going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this right now. I just noticed my face. I don't know if you guys notice this or not. I've had what's called a little skin tag that's just been kind of under the surface here on this spot for a couple of years, 10 years maybe. It wasn't really a mole, just kind of a skin tag. And you know, you guys heard of those essential oils? My wife said, honey, you need to start putting some oregano on that essential oil. In 7 days, the skin tag is gone off my face. It's unbelievable. I just a little bit every day, I put right on that little thing. And that thing is, it looks bad maybe to you now, but it's gone. Oregano, essential oils. It worked. Okay, so here was Psalm 78. Jared, go down to verse 5. Okay, stay right there. Stay right there, Jared. 4. Jared, go to 3. I'm sorry. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I utter dark sayings of old, which we've known, heard, and known, and our fathers have told us. Some things are generational, folks. We will not hide them from their children. We will not hide them from our children. See, the truth is being hidden from our children. They're not getting the truth in school. Truth being hidden. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the generation which should be born, who should arise and declare that to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be like their daddies, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Let me stop right there, son. Guys, we all have wayward children. We all have wayward children. Some of you have women, daughters, who are married to wayward men. And the truth is, your children are getting no godly wisdom from a man. Not getting any. And you can sit back and you can pray about it, and you can pine over it, and you can whine about it, and you can, I mean, we're all there, right? But you have to bridge that gap. The lie that they told us about a generational gap, the generational gap, folks, only occurred because of public schools. When we took our children away, think back now before the Industrial Revolution, look at the Amish, the children worked with the dad. And the children were able to watch dad and how he did his dealings and how he worked, you know, his honesty and his integrity and whether he had any honesty. And the children working side by side with their fathers learned what it meant to be a man. Now, they weren't all good daddies. But there were a lot of them that were good daddies. In 1950, I think I saw in the 1950, 1% of black families that were divorced in 1950, 1%. Then what happened? Well, we took the children out of the home. We sent them to school. And on Sunday, we put them in the churches, compared themselves to the school. So when the kids came to school, the kids went into Sunday school, separated from their parents again. And so the responsibility of being a father, what we just read here in Psalm 78, was never passed to the children. It's been at least 2 generations. Hasn't been passed to the children. My dad, God bless my dad. God rest his soul. My dad didn't really know how to be a dad. His father, back in the Depression era, there were 7 kids in my dad's family. And my grandpa had to go, he had to leave home to go work for the Ohio Gas Company. He would drive from Lancaster, Ohio to Shelby, Ohio, which back then, I mean, that's like going across the world. And he would go up there and he'd spend weeks at a time. And he'd come home every month and bring a paycheck. But my dad was basically raised by his by his mother and some older brothers. My grandfather was never really a part of my dad's life. I mean, he was, but not really. You know what I'm saying? And so then my dad, what did my dad do? Well, my dad was, you know, he coaches some baseball, and he was a, there were five of us, and he was a good provider and a good father. But you know what he did? He worked doubles at Kaiser Aluminum. That's what my dad did in his own entire life. He worked doubles, double shifts. So he'd get up, we'd get up in the morning, and dad would be going to work. And he would get home, he'd go to work at 7, and he'd get home at 11, and we would be in bed. We would never see our dad. Sometimes he would work all weekend, but my dad was being a provider for the family. He was being a provider. My brother, oldest brother, became a hippie. My other brother started smoking cigarettes at age 10. They had me puffing on them at age 8. Why? There was no male influence in our home. And so I wake up all of a sudden, I get married, and how you be a dad? I'm like, what do you mean I'm a dad? Me? What? I'll go to work. That's what they taught us. And thank God for the spiritual awakening in my own life. I've often regretted this. Our oldest son, Zach, I shouldn't say that in publicly. Our oldest son is not walking the walk with the Lord. That he's a prodigal, somewhat of a prodigal. We pray for him every day that what we planted in him will bear much fruit. But I look back over it, and it wasn't his, it's not his fault. It's my fault. Because he was like 8 before I found Christ. And he was like 16 before I even began to figure it out. And by then the die's already cast, right? So listen, I don't replay all that. We have a fatherhood epidemic. A fatherhood epidemic. And grandpas, you can step in. Step in. You have to do it. You have to step in. And my wife is a wonderful, wonderful grandmother. But can I say this? Yeah. Our great granddaughter Reese, who we took to Pomeroy with us yesterday, she's 7. From the time she started coming over and visiting us, at night she would call and go in bed with Michelle and I. That little body would lay in between Michelle and I at night. And now when Reese comes down, she's 7 years old, when Reese comes down to stay all night, she still crawls in bed between Michelle and I. 7 years old. And I thought, you know what? I look back over my, I'm sorry if this is kind of sentimental. It's important. I said to my wife, can you imagine? I can't even imagine sleeping in the same bed as my grandpa. I hardly even knew my grandpa. I was scared to death of grandpa. Both grandpas. Scared of them. And think, my goodness, what I've had the opportunity to build into the life of our granddaughter. My goodness. And our grandson and our grandchildren. And that's the greatest, that's the only thing we can take to heaven with us. And it's the greatest reflection of our lives is instilling in our children our values. That's why the public schools have shredded America. We've been shredded by it. We don't understand it. I'll get off my soapbox. It was a powerful day for me yesterday because I saw the fruit of what we've been building into our granddaughter. Somebody can jump in here a second.
Hey, Coach. Just on the public school side of the house, the system itself is just if you guys are thinking that public school is education, you're wrong. Public school, the system of sitting there all day separating your family into year-based grades. You break the family up, plug them into this system, force them to sit there all day, and even if you do this in your homeschooling methodology, it's like, it's not education. It's not education. Mm. I've learned more being a small business owner about technical things than I ever have in my entire life from doing it. So, anyway, that's it.
Now, Jared, let me throw this in there, because here's my granddaughter, Reese, said to me. She's the greatest granddaughter somebody ever had. And you guys probably want to argue, but she is. And she said that on the way home yesterday. She said, Grampy, I missed my homeschooling today. And I said, oh, no, Reese, no. So when you get home, you tell your mommy that you've had 2 weeks of education today. You went on a geography trip. You watched the barges float down the river. You went and you recognized poor people and how they live. You went out and you were a marketer. You stood on the corner and you held a sign. You did some public service where you handed out bread. You learned to go deeper in your faith where you prayed for people. You learned navigation of where roads take us. you learned geography and that I told you, you could get in the Ohio River right there at Pomeroy, and you could get in an inner tube and you could float all the way down and you could pop out and see Dale Socia down in the Gulf of Mexico down at New Orleans. I said, Reese, you learned so much today.
Coach.
That's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I wanted to play off of Jared as you get growing here. And, you know, you've taught on the huddle for a number of years here, and you've emphasized get the kids out of public education. It is an indoctrination.
It is awful.
And we as grandparents, if that means you've got to get a job at Walmart pushing carts, we can help our kids get the kids either homeschooled or in a solid Christian environment. We owe that to our grandkids. And this idea of hanging around and traveling around in retirement is foolishness if you have the opportunity to get your kids out of public education. Mm-hmm. I honestly, you know, when I listen to the huddle, I'm puzzled. What born-again believer believes an hour and a half to 3 hours in youth stuff and church is any defense against 40 hours a week of this indoctrination? And when you talk to them, they look like, with deer headlights, that you are stupid. It's unbelievable.
Right.
Foolishness.
Roger, I got so much stuff here. I could amen you on that one. I do. We put our kids into the schools for 7.5 hours a day, take them to Sunday school on Sunday, and let them draw some pictures of Noah's Ark, and we think that we've overcome it. Right? I mean, come on. Come on. So listen, my charge today is to grandpas. My charge today is to grandpas. And you know, your children aren't always a sign of your parenting, okay? There's a lot of influences out there. And if you're anything like me, by the time you realize what was going on, your kids are already too old to impact them. I want to show you something here, a couple things here I think are, bear with me here a second, okay? Hey Jared, let's pull this up here. I sent you, this is from a guy in the queue, and he sent me this email. It says Dad's email. And I want to share this with you. He wouldn't care if I told you, but it's a faithful viewer here. And this humbled me. He writes letters to his sons and to his grandchildren. Can you see that, Jared? Do you have that? Okay. Okay, right, thanks. You hear what I'm saying? Do you guys have anything that your grandpa ever said? Anything? Anything? Do you carry anything that your grandpa ever said to you? No. I assume he does this regularly. I don't know. But I'm not going to read the whole thing. But it really spoke to me. I have to start doing this. Ryan and Seth, these are his sons. He wrote this to his son. Says, it's been a long time since I've written you a personal note. Man, feel convicted. I want to tell you both how proud I am of you, and I love you very, very much. You both are men who have character, leadership skills, and I could never have taught you. We all know none of us are perfect, but some overcome the tribulations of this world, and others show others a path which leads to truth, as both of you are doing. Here's why you are able to do these things. A couple of years before Brian was born, the Alex Haley TV series Roots, from his book Roots, The Saga of an American Family, was aired, and a certain scene struck me so much I used it in our lives. Remember, this is a letter from a father to his sons. It was a scene where his great-grandfather, Kunta Kinte, was born, and Kunta's father took him out under the stars, and he lifted him up to God, to behold the only thing greater than yourself. You guys, remember that scene? Remember that. The scene showed me that we should offer up everything to God. So when you both were about 2 or 3 months old, I took you out in the night, looked up in the stars, and held you up totally exposed and naked before God, and told God you belong to Him. I told Him that He had to guide you, because if it was totally left up to me, I would screw it up so bad. I didn't want you to grow up being like me. I wanted you to grow up being like him. There's a song by Phillips Craig and Dean says, I just want to be like you because he wants to be just like me. The song takes me back to that moment when I offered you up to the Lord. Now more than ever, we're all become like him, because if we don't know our Lord and have a relationship with him, we're doomed to eternal hell. Scripture below describes what I'm talking about. Scroll down, Jared, because not that I'm making fun of the scriptures. You can read the scriptures later. The letter, have you done this, guys? Have you guys done this to, have you done this to your wayward son? Stay right there, Jim. Have you done that? We need to teach God's word from the Bible in context so that it will be a guide. He writes to his son. A standard, a plumb line. So all behavior and actions are measured by the word so they can truly know right from wrong. Guys, I only say this because of the time. The Bible guarantees that persecution is coming to Christians. As godly men and fathers, we must prepare to stand for the righteousness of Christ that God placed us in, because Revelation 12:1 is our final test, which says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, word of their testimony, love not their own lives. We don't like to think or talk about it, but death is our reward. We will all die and go to either heaven or hell. We must be prepared for heaven if we believe in God, the creator of all things. There's only one way to him, and that is through his only son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know I've never been a perfect father, and please forgive me for that. But as I've progressed in my relationship with Jesus through the actual reading and studying the Bible for myself, my eyes have become acutely aware that our time on earth is short. Every day we need to read, study, and pray for God to speak to us through our guide and comfort of the Holy Spirit in order to overcome the persecution that we're about to face. I pray for you guys every day. I pray that revival breaks out in your homes and in your life. Be a better father than me. That's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. And he writes to his grandchildren as well. My goodness. And sadly, we're sending kids to public school where they're being trained by bossy women. I'm going to say it, bossy women who like to domineer men. A lot of good teachers. And he's learned how to be a man from guys in his class that he's hanging out with. That's where my brother learned to smoke at 10, where they tried to get me to smoke at 8. My brother turned a hippie because we were being raised by other guys, being raised by our peers. We say that peer pressure is hard on kids. They can't handle the peer pressure. Peer pressure is hard on adults. Adults don't handle peer pressure very well. So, David, bless you for that email, man. Bless you for that email. Bless you. That would be a good challenge to all of us dads to do that. That choked me up. Anybody got anything? Got something else I want to go to?
Well, Coach, I'll go back to what Jared was talking about. It's not education. You're right. Public school is not education. It's indoctrination. It's indoctrination. And, you know, you say that. I mean, I, as an example myself, you know, I mean, these is the sacrifice my wife and I made, you know, is that we chose that we were going to homeschool our children and set our careers to the side of what we want to do. But my goodness, last night we were sitting outside and, you know, it was kind of a cool night, and I put some firewood in the pit. And the next thing I know, my kids are coming out. We order pizza, break out the guitar, we start worshiping, and then guess what? Our neighbors come outside. Brother, I mean, it's like, you know, the just spontaneousness that your children are following, and they are. They're following, they're watching us, and just like you said, even with your grandchildren, I look forward to the day when the grandchildren are there. Brother, I'm going to take them to the streets, I'm going to do ministry, and get them pressing into Jesus.
So, Dale, if I'd known you were cooking steaks, we'd have jumped in that inner tube and we'd have floated down there for him. I don't know how long it would have taken us, but it would have been good to be there.
Well, whatever that flood's going on, I'm telling you what, we're the bottom. We're the base of the toilet bowl down here in Louisiana, and they're getting ready to lift up the Bonnie Carey spillway, the flood levels that are about to come down this way.
It's coming your way.
Because of what's going on. Oh, yeah, it's coming our way.
Hey, Jared, let's do it real quickly. Yeah. Hey, Jared, while I'm saying this, look at the email. See where it says the dad's email, the one right under it. I don't want to say the name of it. We've got two guys' name. I'll click on that one. Yes, go ahead, whoever that was.
Hi, this is Brother Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I got that book from you. I'm doing great. I got that book from you, Children Already Gone. It really opened my eyes. It really relates to it.
Already gone, aren't they, brother?
Yeah. I was walking my new dog, Lucy, and this young lady used to, who's a granddaughter, lived next, well, stayed with her grandmother after school. She no longer smiles. She's wearing black, and she's looking real gothic. And she goes to the public school system.
Yep.
And it's just,
parents,
a real shocker.
The parents are wondering, what happened? What happened to our Sarah? Two trees during a Christian home.
Yeah, she's supposed to be in a Christian home. And I asked her, why don't you smile at me anymore? And she just looked at me and just frowned. It's just amazing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jeff, thanks for being on. Okay, guys, I'm going to flash up on the screen to you right now. Are you ready? Hang on, Jared. Go ahead and put it up there, Jared. There it is. Two men. Both died recently in their 90s. Both influenced the world. Both were born into Christian homes. One saw only religion and led millions astray. The other saw the Savior and led millions to faith. Picture Billy Graham and Hugh Hefner, about the same age. Question for you. As we look at the fruit today, who is the greatest evangelist? Of these two, who was the greatest evangelist? That's a harsh question, boys. That's a harsh, harsh question.
In terms of effectiveness?
Yeah.
Hugh Hefner.
That's what I'm saying? That's right. Huh? Who? You ask yourself right now, whose theology is carrying the day in the public schools? Billy Graham's theology or Hugh Hefner's theology? It's everywhere you look. Who's ruling Hollywood? Hugh Hefner or Billy Graham? Who's ruling Hollywood? I'm sorry, Washington. Hugh Hefner or Billy Graham? Who's ruling the public school? Hugh Hefner's God or Billy Graham's God? Who's ruling your family? Hugh Hefner or Billy Graham? And see, here's the difference. I'm sorry, here's the difference. Billy Graham taught us about something that we couldn't see, feel, or touch, faith. Hugh Hefner invaded our ear gate and our eye gate with things we could touch and see and sense and feel.
Wow. Yep.
Sensual. Sensual as opposed to spiritual. And you know what the truth of it is?
Hour and a half.
Both of these guys being propelled by their fathers. Both of these guys being propelled by their fathers. Now, you can tell me Billy Graham preached to 200 million people. God bless him. God bless you, Billy Graham. God bless you. I want you to ask you today, who's God's ruling? Who created more disciples?
Wow.
We don't want to look at the truth, do we, guys?
Wow.
There it is.
I'm stunned.
Me too. When I saw it, I thought, oh, my goodness.
That's pretty harsh. Pretty harsh.
Yeah. Because, see, it sounds like I'm criticizing Billy Graham, and I'm not criticizing Billy Graham. I'm criticizing the fact, see, Hugh Hefner made sex and boobs and women an everyday part of your life. Billy Graham made it something that you do on Sundays for an hour and a half a day. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep. The carrot. Stuck
amen.
The carrot out. Wow. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Okay, let's go something else. I'm on a roll here today.
Hey, Coach, let me jump in here.
Sure, Bobby.
All right, I got in here late. I didn't hear everything. I got in here when you were talking about the school systems and that sorts of things.
Talking about fatherhood, Bobby, father and grandfatherhood and all that.
Listen, this I want to touch on the guns and the mental health issues. This is a real problem. You can get a psych assessment right now in any office in America with a cocktail of meds to follow. It's subjective. It's not based on science, about 300 diagnoses to choose from. And it depends on who's doing the psych assessment as to what diagnosis you're going to get. You're not
voodoo. It's voodoo, Bobby. Psychological evaluations are voodoo.
you're not going to take your kid to a PhD or a qualified master's level person and not get a diagnosis and bring them into the system. And then they're going to start pushing meds. All of that said, the educational people and the mental health people are carved out of one and the same. And most of them are females. I've been to many, many trainings across 15 years with these mental health people, looking over the sea of people that services an entire region as an example of anywhere America. And I am ashamed of what I'm around. Most of them are women. The men that are in there are not really men. They've dumbed their thought processes down to where they accept every crap.
Amen.
You have to believe in the made up psychological industry of the world to do this job. Okay. So again, most of them are brainwashed females with subservient men that will just sit there and really not say much at all. And I'll look around, and these people are going into your homes raising your kids. Your kids are no longer raised by the fathers and the grandfathers. They're raised by state and private agencies.
Amen,
I need you to process that. And the foster care industry is booming. Money made hand over fist. You don't know where these places are. You don't know where the group homes are. You don't know where your neighbors could be a foster parent right down the street. You have to understand how big of a problem this is. Now, do not take – listen, unless – can't say it in all instances. There's real severe mental health problems. The cutting is off the chain with these kids. These kids are behaving in ways never before seen in human history.
You can't find
a bed to place a kid in 50 states in the United States. Oftentimes, they're sending these kids back home. Now, all of that said, unless your kid's got some real serious problems, I would encourage anybody out there listening to get their kids. Listen, it's not like we can raise kids on the farm anymore. It's not like they're growing up with masculine behavior. This is why the martial arts and the MMA gyms are booming, because it's pretty much the only place where a boy or a man can go to demonstrate manhood and learn his place in the circle and learn how to get punched in the face and work through it. All right? We used to demonstrate this in barns and farms everywhere in America.
Amen. Hey, Bobby, so yesterday when we get back, I know maybe you didn't hear the beginning. Folks, hear me. When we got back yesterday, my little grandson, my little two-year-old grandson, David, he comes waddling into the house. He's a fireball full of energy anyway. And we sat there for a while, and I'd spent some time with his big sister. And I said, hey, David, come on, man. We're going to go outside and throw some rocks in the creek. And he looked at me, got all excited, and I grabbed him, and we went around the corner. I'm holding his hand. We go down there, and he takes that first rock and throws it down in the water, and it goes plunk. And it's like something went off in his head. I do it again? I got him, went kerplunk. And we were down there, and mud was up on his hands and mud's on his knees. And I said, David, this is what men do. This is what men do. Men get dirty, and men throw rocks. Done that with your kids? You done that with your grandkids? Or you say there's some sissy teacher in school that tells them to be quiet, and say, "We're going to sit you in the corner or medicate you." That's what Bobby's talking about. Grandpas, we've got to up our ante, baby. We got to up our ante. We can worry all we want to. We can worry about Washington D.C. We can worry about Trump. We can worry about all things spiritual. But the reality is, the rubber meets the road between you and your offspring. And if you are dropping the ball on that one, see, I said to Michelle yesterday, I can't imagine grandparents. I'm not trying to convict anybody, although I hope the Holy Spirit does. I can't imagine grandparents. I can't imagine it. Grandparents who take off for 3 months at a time and go stay down in Florida when their little grandkids, these impressionable little grandkids, I'm not talking about your grandkids being 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. I'm talking about these little wee ones that I got. these little wee ones. I get up every day and I'm thinking, how am I going to build into this little guy's life today? What am I going to say to her? How am I going to help her? What am I going to do? Because I understand the power of me as a grandpa.
I'm stunned.
Amen, coach. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm going to keep saying amen to you. Tell me to shut up.
Yeah, because you got a grand boy now. You got a grand boy now. And you know what I've learned to do? I would never undermine my daughter's authority, my son-in-law. I would never undermine their authority. I never would do that. But boys, I'm telling you, there are so many opportunities to make an impact and an influence in that little child's life. And when you see those opportunities, do it. I told you this. I told David, hey, David, don't be dressing like girls. Men don't wear dresses, because he hangs around three cousins who are girls and they all want to play with those doll babies and Elsa and whoever they are. No, no. David, you get trucks, man. You play with trucks. You like loud things. Let's go do the loud things, David. Guys, this is subtle, but this is really, really important. They're not getting it. You walk into your local. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine walking into an elementary school, putting your kid in the second grade, and I was your kid's teacher? I was your kid's teacher. What would the average woman think? Oh, he's so mean and he's so harsh. Oh, no, no. Uh-huh. I remember a substitute teaching about 10 years ago, right after I left teaching. And I was substituting at an elementary school over here in Licking County. Phys ed, elementary phys ed. That ain't a job. That's a vacation. They pay you for it. And I was in there, and all of a sudden, here comes the third graders. And, you know, they just run down the hall, man. They can't wait to get in the gym. They come running down the gym, and some little girl comes around the corner, and she squeals, "Yeah, a boy teacher!" It's rare. A boy teacher. Third grade. And what are we teaching them today in school? She wouldn't even be allowed to say boy teacher today. They drug her and put her over in a corner. That's not nice. You don't know if he's a boy.
We are so screwed up.
We're so screwed up. Hey, listen, I look back on it. I wish I hadn't sent Zach to college. I wish I'd have sent him to live with the Amish, where he'd have come out of there with his skill. He could have baled hay and fixed wagons and fed horses and done fence rows and fence posts.
I have to lead off right there. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, Coach. But this college thing has really, I've struggled with this recently. This college thing has done more to destroy people's lives.
Oh, man.
Or just as much as anything else. It is the groundwork of difficulty, and it's an early brainwashing those first few years.
That's right.
Listen, we can't control ourselves when we go to these cesspits called college campuses. We're off the chain.
And
producing an army of people with these human service degrees and nothing that doesn't create a life afterwards. It's garbage. I got two human service degrees. I wish they said bachelors of science.
Coach, can I jump in here and give a little testimony about college with my older son, Jonathan?
By the way, guys, we're going until 6 minutes after, so we got 10 minutes left. Go ahead, Dale.
Okay, so here it is. Of course, first, my child started at 3 years old out in front of the abortion clinic. He grew up in that. So it's ministry. He decides to become an electrical engineer. So he's in college. His first two, his freshman year in college, he had to take political science. He was wanting to do something else. His first class with his political science teacher, she wants to talk about abortion. And my son, you know, he raises his hand. He's the only one that's willing the teacher. He begins to just preach it to her, right? The next week, was on homosexuality. And my son is the only one that's willing to raise his hand and engage this teacher. Now, here's where it gets crazy. So the teacher is getting frustrated with my son because he's confronting her with truth. And so she goes, is there anybody else that can answer a question? Anybody? Finally, this girl raises her hand and she goes, yes. And the girl directs her question to my son. That teacher took my son off the side of class afterwards and said, look, if I give you an A, we'll be class. my son, this class, she purposely failed my son in that class. It brought down his GPA. Now, he graduates this year, but I want to tell you something. The only reason he was really able to engage her is because he has already been engaged in the battle anyway.
Amen, brother. Amen, amen, amen. Seeing my father and me.
The dean of that school knows my wife and I. They know us. We go on that campus and we preach. So they already, guess what? My next son, Jonathan, he started dual enrollment. They are dying. They're like, God, can we get this family out of the school? Because we're one of the families that will engage these people with truth.
That's right, because their faith is real to them, Dale. Their faith is real. Hey, Jared, let's go real quickly here. I got one. It says the left. It's just a little meme. It says the left. Left. Because this is it. Hey, guys, the left and liberals are not the same thing. Not the same thing. There's a hardcore left. They're atheistic God haters. Demonically controlled God haters. The left. And it's just like conservatism. It's the same spectrum on the other side. Pretend salt. A lot of people who are liberals don't even know why they're liberal. I got this. This is Cindy Monahan Holcomb wrote this. The left wanted same-sex marriage, even though it's not a constitutional right, and it became the law of the land. The left wanted transgendered lifestyles normalized. Hang on here. We now have an entire generation of children questioning their gender. The left wanted God out of schools. Now our schools are in chaos. The left wanted fathers out of the home. Now our families are broken. The left wanted women to have the right to terminate the life of their baby. We're now forced with our tax dollars to fund an organization that terminates thousands of lives a day. The left wanted to use our schools to indoctrinate rather than educate. Now our children are unable to do simple math. They wanted Southern heritage erased. So now we're tearing down historical monuments. The left wanted increased numbers of refugees and immigrants from terrorist countries. We've seen Americans killed in terrorist attacks on our own soil. The left wanted any reference to Christianity removed from the town square. Now our communities are no longer safe. Now they want to take my right to bear arms, which, by the way, is a constitutional right. God-given, inalienable right. Shall not be infringed. Well, I'm going to have to say no. No more. This is my line in the sand, and I will defend the line with every fiber of my being. I'm Cindy.
Hey, Coach.
So, guys, what's your line in the sand? When do we reach your line in the sand? Go ahead, Jared.
Well, Coach, I hope that at the line in the sand, people decide to start moving the line forward, too.
Right. That's right. It's not just this far or no further, right? It can't be that anymore. It can't be that anymore. That's why I was on the Hagman the other night. That's what I was talking about. We got to begin to start suing people. Jason Storms. I don't know if I shared this with you guys or not. Jason Storms, who's now the assistant director of Operation Save America, is got licensed to substitute teach at Milwaukee City Schools. He got licensed to teach. And he put on his Facebook page how much he was enjoying it because he's getting a chance to interact with kids and share his testimony and openly give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what do you suppose happened? Well, Freedom From Religion Foundation found somebody forwarded it to them, and now they went to the Wisconsin Milwaukee public schools, and what? They don't want Jason to be able to substitute teach. They don't want to. So my question is, where is the battery of lawyers who are knocking on the door of the superintendent saying, if you try to take this guy's job from him, you are going to have hell to pay? No, 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 no. We lay back and we be nice, and then we let Jason, we let these God haters come in and throw Jason out of school, and then we'll say, oh, that Jason is so brave. Oh, He was so brave. Rather than trying to win some victories here.
Hey,
if humanism can go in there, the Supreme Court has ruled it a religion, then Christianity's permitted in there. I don't lose my right to free speech when I walk into a government school. Yes, George.
You know, Coach, I fear that the men and some of these women on the queue, we're definitely the minority. We're really the kind of the unsung hero, so to speak, because it seems to me that the average person, especially man in this country, will only do something when it affects them. And let me give you a quick example. We have a guy running for governor here in Oklahoma, and honestly, we could not have a better choice. His name is Dan Fisher. Go to danfisher.gov. Look at his platform. Look at what he is standing for. And yet you have so many of these men that go to church. They say all the right things. They dress good. They, you know, family men. But yet it's going to cost them something to back Dan Fisher. And because in their mind, their life is good. Everything in America is going to keep going on forever like it is. They bought into one of the biggest lies ever. Stay good. Hey, if George, enough good men don't stand up and get off their butts and do something.
So we have a picture on the screen right now of Dan Fisher. Look at those signs. Abolish abortion. State sovereignty. Dan Fisher said if he's elected governor of the state of Oklahoma, he will rule abortion illegal in the state of Oklahoma. States' rights. State sovereignty.
Amen.
Push him back. What do you suppose the odds are that Christians are going to vote for him?
Yeah.
You know the answer to that, don't you?
Yeah, it's tragic, Coach.
Hey. It's tragic.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Len.
George, first, we're the remnant. We're not just a few. We're the remnant. And, Coach, Kevin's petition, it got its 150, and you can now find that petition on the White House petition website, but there's no place to search for it. You just have to scroll down, and the way they're listed there is once they reach 150 signatures, they're at the very bottom of the list, and then the more signatures you get, the closer they get to the top. The only way that they're going to get that 100,000 needed within 30 days, and there's about 23 days left, okay? The only way they're going to get that 100,000 is if we push, and get those we're pushing on to push. That's the only way it's going to happen.
Good word there, Larry. I got to do that. Hey, guys, I want to finish. I got to go. Good, Kevin. Again. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was just going to say, you have to put it on to people that would be way outside of your wheelhouse. I was able yesterday afternoon to get, I don't know if you guys know, he's in California. He's a drummer. He's got a band. He does Christian music. He's a very interesting young man. I was able to get him to share it on his platform. He's got 100,000 people on his Facebook page. We got to reach out to people that were.
Anybody who is friends with the activist mommy, Elizabeth Johnston, post that on her page and tell her I ask her to post it. You know what I'm saying? I can't post it. I can't do it. I'll talk to Elizabeth. But that she's got like 10 million followers, something unbelievable. Hey, one more thing. I got to just throw a little tinfoil hat here before we go away on something. You know, everybody's in uproar over Trump's and the tariffs on steel and on aluminum and all that. Right, you guys saw that. And all the economy's going to crash, yada, yada, yada. I saw something yesterday that took my breath away. Jared, go to the very first thing that I sent you today. I want you to see this. I'm going to shut up. We're getting all of our China steel from China. And you know what they've discovered? Look, boys, this is 2015. Junk steel. China is shipping us junk steel. Now, if we are gearing up for what could be a war, do we want China selling us
are steel.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
I'll give you a quick one. If you get on an Airbus 380, if there's no row 33, it's made in China. Out of junk steel. Okay? Row 33. Yeah. Number 33 in Chinese is like floor 13 here in the U.S. You know, some elevators don't have floor 13.
I gotcha. No row 33, junk steel. Is it just me, or does this guy always seem to be about four steps in front of everybody else? Hey, I'm sorry to end up on that one, but I just thought that was important so that you don't get on Facebook and buy all the propaganda that they constantly throw at us. What if Trump knows that we're going to need good tanks and good whatever, and we're getting lousy steel, and our planes aren't any good? Unbelievable. Buying steel from the ones who want to destroy us. We're not very smart people. Hey, folks, wake up, baby. Plenty of things to do. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.